Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report, and another daily editorial recorded live from the floor of the Sprott Resource Investment Symposium. In this interview, I am chatting with Scott Melby, Executive Vice President over at UEC. UEC is traded on the NYSE under the symbol UEC. Scott, I just want to start off by getting your comments on that Section 232 decision that came out just a couple weeks ago. To me, it seems like a lot of kicking the can further down the road. It was the last minute, essentially, on the last day that Trump announced they're forming a really discussion group to look into this whole Section 233. What are your takeaways from this?
Well, thanks, Corey, and good morning. It's great to speak with you. Definitely some clarity around the 232 decision is needed. A week and a half ago, the president did meet with his cabinet secretaries and was briefed on each one of those departments' views on the 232. The Commerce Department, being the lead, recommended that a quota system be put in place to help reinvigorate the uranium industry. They found a national security threat. The feeling wasn't unanimous on amongst the cabinet secretaries. You had defense very supportive. You had commerce for. You had State Department more looking out for other countries' interests like Australia and Canada, and then you had DOE, which was torn. They didn't want to do anything to hurt the utilities, but they do want to do things to help the producers. So the president, hearing that, said, "Listen, there is an issue here. There is a national security interest. I'm going to send you guys back for 90 days and add others in my cabinet and broaden the working group to come up with policies that can be implemented to revitalize the domestic industry."
Okay, so again, it does seem like they are still looking into it, but we just don't know what's going to come out of this. And unfortunately, on the back of this decision, a lot of the stocks sold off. UEC is among one of those. Yep. Has this decision impacted your guys' strategy moving forward at all?
It hasn't, and I'll explain. But I think the way it was, the news was released on that day didn't help either, because early in the day, I think we had a leak that the president wouldn't go forward with quotas, but failed to mention the working group task force being formed, which came out after market close that night. So, I think we do. This is not just a kind of window dressing, we believe. We've met with 9 of the 13 agencies last week in Washington to make sure they're briefed and they have the information they need. So we're still very optimistic that supportive policies, whether it comes from defense procurement or buy USA policies within the U.S. government, tax credits for U.S. utilities, any number of things that can be proposed, some administratively that Trump can do, some that will require legislation, heavier lift, but we're not ruling any of those out. For UEC, listen, our plans for 2019 haven't changed. We've always been moving forward on our production readiness at Palangana, Burke Hollow, and Reno Creek. At Burke Hollow, we're drilling out the initial monitor well ring of the first production area. What would have happened and what still will happen if we get really favorable policies will be an acceleration of our efforts rather than a curtailment. So we believe at the end of the day that our assets, our ISR assets in Texas and Wyoming, are first or second quartile cost globally. We're really looking to the global market rebalancing, which continues. While everyone's been focused on this trade action, meanwhile, Cameco and other producers continue to cut production dramatically. It's really been rebalancing over the last couple of years to where the overhang of inventories is diminishing. And the next step is the utilities to come back into the market and resume procurement. They've really been put on the sidelines by 232. So any resolution of 232 at this point that gets the utilities back in the market is positive. And we just received a request for a proposal from a U.S. utility today that they're getting back in the market. And that's the message we're getting. That probably has as big an impact on uranium prices and our activities as much as, if not more, than the government actions could take.
Okay, so a couple of things, and we will get into Cameco and what they're doing within the market, but you talked about aiming to become one of the lowest quartile producers of uranium. You still need a higher uranium price to make money, but what does that look like? What is the lowest quartile in your data?
Yeah, so for us, we can produce from South Texas cash cost around $22, under $30 all in. And as we scale up production, we can, you know, we can improve on those figures. So that compares very favorably. If you look at incentive pricing, it's not a hard and fast threshold, but we would say $45, $50 a pound contracts would be enough to get us back into production and develop more production. That's very similar to Cameco's threshold on MacArthur River and other assets that they have. So we're not that much different. In Cameco, we're just a lot smaller scale. You know, what Cameco has been doing and others have been doing to really reduce the overhang of inventories by shutting in production, you know, that can't help but help at some point. We get to the bottom or the inventories get down to a point where, you know, we're more in balance in the supply and demand.
Yeah, you and I did talk about how Cameco was shutting production and how that should be a boost to the uranium price. We saw a slight uptick, but now the story that I've been hearing is that Cameco does need to cover a lot of their contracts. Yeah. So they do need to be buying uranium out of the market. But again, what I've heard is that they haven't necessarily been buying uranium out of the market this year. What updates can you give us?
They have been buying it. Just some of it may be visible to the open spot market. Other purchases may be behind the scenes. But they did update, I believe they updated their guidance for the year of purchases at around 21 to 23 million pounds this year. That's very significant. I think they, when they first embarked on the production cutbacks at MacArthur River, they were first drawing down some of their own excess inventories before going to the market. I think they're at a point now where they, you know, every pound that, you know, is not being produced needs to be purchased because they have the sales commitments at or over 30 million pounds a year. So, you know, if they haven't bought as much as many would hoped in the first half of the year, that just means it's more in the second half of the year that they're going to need to come to the market for. So that's positive. It's bullish.
So do you see this severely impacting price, or does this more just continue to set almost a floor for the uranium price?
Well, again, I think the other shoe to drop, which is nothing will happen until this occurs, is the utility procurement cycle, which was put on hold for 12 to 18 months. So if another way of looking at it is the market has rebalanced and adjusted on the supply side, but it hasn't been tested yet by utility procurement. Understandably, they didn't want to go out and sign contracts until they knew what Trump was going to do. I realize there's still another 90 days that things could come out of the administration, but I think utilities are getting more comfortable by going out now and beginning to procure what are really significant unfilled needs in the early 2020s. So that's what's going to move the price. It can't be just Cameco buying. It's got to be multiple utilities, both domestic and foreign, coming to the market. And that now can begin to happen, whether it's now or after 90 days. We're going to see utilities more active in the second half.
Okay, so it's all about the pieces falling into place, right? Creating this better, more encouraging market for uranium. Circling back to UEC, though, you are continuing to do your work. Yes, you're not speeding up anything, but you are sticking to plans. What type of funds do you still have available in the bank to continue this work?
Yes, we have $20 million cash in the bank. Our cash burn is quite minimal because we're not in a production mode. We are in development mode, but it's still $1 million a month to fund all of our activities. Most of that is focused on Burke Hollow. As I mentioned, increasing the production readiness there. So a question we're often asked is how quickly could we ramp up if we had good pricing? Palangana is a six-month response. I mean, it's essentially limited capital required to go back into production. Burke Hollow, you know, can be brought on in $10 to $14-15 million and 18 months or less, but we're already beginning to chip away at that lead time. And then Reno Creek, we're advancing the economic assessment to determine what's the capital lift, what's the timeline, should we toll mill, should we build our own processing plant. But if we really pushed it, we could be in production there in likely 2 years' time. So that's the plan. You know, we're sufficiently funded to do that. We've done some other things in the interim, like the forming Uranium Royalty Corp, which is still private but looks to go public between now and the end of the year. So that's going to represent an asset on our balance sheet that you know is quite attractive. It's a model that has become a $30 billion industry in base and precious metals. We're the only ones to be doing it in uranium. So while we aren't in production, we're not just sitting on our hands and spinning spinning our wheels. We've been quite active, obviously, with the Reno Creek acquisition and moving forward on Uranium Royalty.
All right, Scott, I do appreciate the general update here and also the comments on the uranium market. I know some of that bloom has come off of the market recently. I think it's also because the run we've seen in precious metals and investors get easily distracted. But there is still a lot of comments that have been made at this conference about uranium. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Scott and his team at UEC, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, Scott, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Corey.